You are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our television audience, this is where the revival began, right here in Bloemfontein. We welcome you with us today. Thank you for being with us. We know God will touch you today. God's got a great future for you, a great tomorrow for you, and I believe God's word today will touch your heart and will give you new hope in Jesus' name. Welcome to Facebook live stream viewers as well. Welcome to those on every social platform. Thank you for being with us right here from Bloemfontein. We welcome you. Come on, let's welcome all the people that are with us on social media. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the enemy or the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Hallelujah. So when people come against you, God says they will be driven before you seven ways. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You will be the head and not the tail. Come on, let me get you ready here today to give God a praise. Hallelujah. So that's what David said. When people came against me, they stumbled and they fell. The haters, the naysayers. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Hallelujah. Say, I will be the head and not the tail. Say it. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Thank God that we're in the presence of Jesus today, here in Bloemfontein, there in Pretoria, Johannesburg, and that this is not a funeral. It's not Jesus's funeral service. It's the first day of the week where Jesus is risen from the grave. So we have come to celebrate, and we have come with an attitude of joy. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise offering in the house as we begin. I mean, what he's saying is, because God has blessed me, because God has delivered me, because God has healed me, because God has been faithful, I will come to church and I will offer a sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Yeah, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Hallelujah. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart. I would have become discouraged, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Right now, right here, at this time, in South Africa, in Windhoek, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not when I get to heaven one day, but right now while I'm alive. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want to talk to you again about God makes all things beautiful in his time. We know that God's timing is not our timing. We know that the times of waiting are never easy. I mean, you have this amazing dream and suddenly you find yourself in the waiting room, a time of delay, a detour, a place sometimes filled with many disappointments. Sometimes we find ourselves in a waiting room, not because of our doing, but because of other people's doing, like Joseph. But I want to tell you today that God has not abandoned you and God has not forgotten you, that God is with you wherever you are. You may be in a place you don't want to be, like Joseph, but the Lord is with you, and God's favor is with you, and God's deliverance is with you. And my word for you this morning is, do not allow yourself to become despondent and discouraged, but turn your waiting room into a worship room. Somebody say amen this morning. So when we are in the waiting room, we are faced with two options. We can either go sit in a corner and feel sorry for ourselves, suck our thumb, blame life, blame other people, become all cynical and despondent. Or we can recall the faithfulness of God. We can focus on the promises of God. We can focus on the mercy of God and the grace of God. And we can choose to worship God while we wait for God's deliverance. Come on, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on. David said, early in the morning I will praise the Lord. David said, seven times a day will I praise the Lord. David said, in the midnight hour I will praise the Lord. There's one thing you cannot steal from me. You cannot steal my praise. Come on. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. You cannot steal my joy. You cannot steal my peace. Because I choose to worship in the waiting room. So we can choose to focus on God's promise and not God's problem. And this is what David, or not your problem. And this is what David says in Psalm 27. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I want to tell you that God is good, that God loves you, that God cares about you. That in spite of what you are facing, the promises of God are still yea and amen. But don't allow yourself to worry. In your waiting room, don't begin to murmur and complain. In your waiting room, don't be like Israel, who always spoke about the negativities. Be a worshiper in the presence of God. I understand it's not easy when things are delayed. I understand it's not easy when we go through all types of trials and storms and tribulations. It's not easy when we don't know. But Paul the Apostle said, when we don't know the future or what the future holds, we know the one who holds the future. That's why we can worship Him. We can joy in the God of our salvation. Come on. Early in the morning, we can praise Him. We can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody there in Pretoria, Johannesburg. Just jump to your feet and rejoice in the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. We can't allow ourselves to become cynical or disheartened. We can't allow ourselves to become disconnected from the God of hope in the waiting room. We've been studying together that it's not dream today and destiny tomorrow. It's dream, detour, delay, destiny. And we don't want to delay God's plan any further. So we don't want to begin to murmur. We don't want to find somebody to blame. I mean, Joseph surely could have blamed his brothers for where he was. And they were to blame. But yet God was in control. Because God was busy with His master plan. And I want to tell you, it may not seem like it today, but God is busy with His master plan for your life. Don't allow yourself to become discouraged. Don't allow your soul to become disquieted within you. You keep your praise alive. You keep your worship alive. You keep your hands raised up on the battleground and watch how God's deliverance will come in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't settle in the place of discouragement and despair. Don't allow anxiety and hopelessness and anger and fear to get the better of you. You have to turn your worry into worship and watch God turn your battle into blessings. Tweet it. Tweet, tweet. Turn your worry into worship and watch God turn your battles into blessing. Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul says in the Message Bible, he says, celebrate God all day, every day. Hallelujah. Not only on a Sunday, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, when I get a bad report, when I go to the hospital, when I see my bank manager. Celebrate God all day, every day. Keep your worship alive. I mean, revel in Him. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns before you know it. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So when the storms rage and you face the uncertainties of life, you have to go into that waiting room. And turn that waiting room into a worship room, not a worry room, not a fret and sweat room, a worship room where you put Him first. Just like Habakkuk, who turned his weight into worship, not his weight into weight. Because sometimes, because we don't understand, we allow the things of this world to weigh us down, the worries, the despairs, the cares of life, the uncertainties, the storms, people's opinion, enemies. I mean, life can be tough at times. People in your world can make life tough for you at times. But David says, when people come against me, God is with me. God is my defense. I'm not going to lose myself when I'm attacked. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to keep the song alive in my heart. And I will say the Lord is good and His mercy unto us forever. Come on, somebody, if you believe in the mercy of God, give Him a worship praise in this place today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So when Habakkuk was depressed because he didn't think what God was acting quickly enough. He's a man of God. God gives him prophecies for the future. And Habakkuk is in a place of despondency. And yet God comes to him. And God says to him, write my answer on the billboard, large and clear. Write the vision, not your problem. Write the vision. Write what I promised you. No matter how bad things are, go write the dream again. Go write the vision again. Get your focus on positive things. Get your focus on the promise again. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Declare the word that I have for you in Jesus' name. So that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell others also. So, you know, when things go wrong, we shouldn't go tell everybody what's going wrong. We should tell people what's about to happen. Amen. We're not going to repeat our problems and our mistakes and our mishaps in life. We're going to tell people something is going to happen. Like Abraham, 75 years old, God said, we're going to have a baby. A baby is on its way in Jesus. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a business. We're going to have a ministry. I'm going to be healed. I will live and not die. I will declare the glory of God. Write the vision, the Bible says, and make it clear. No matter how long the delay is, you write the vision. Last week in Pretoria, take your seat, when people came for prayer, a lady came to my wife and said, at the beginning of this year, Pastor Art prayed for me, or 8 months ago, or Pastor Art prayed for me, or 9 months ago, he prayed for me, and we couldn't have children for 7 years, and in 2 weeks, they're having babies, they're having twins, amen. Oh, come on, in Jesus' name. I prayed for many people that couldn't have children. It's a blessing and anointing on my life who've had twins. I was in church the other day in Pretoria, shaking the mother's hands at the back, and a lady also came to me and said, these two children, we couldn't have children. Now we have twins. Hallelujah. So, I mean, Angelique said to me the other day, Daddy, please pray. We want to fall pregnant. I said, you better be careful because I have a double portion. I have a double anointing. When I pray for you, double blessing comes. Oh, man. Good things are going to happen. God's going to bless your business. God's going to bless your family. God's going to bless your marriage. God's going to bless your future. You better get ready in the name of Jesus. Shout amen if you believe it today. Hallelujah. I mean, God's not holding out on you. So keep your hands in worship. I mean, we had a couple come here to church. They only came here once, which always amazes me. People come, they get blessed, you never see them again. They couldn't have children for something like 11 years. They sat right there, wherever the seats were, there. Just came once, couldn't have children for 11 years. Prayed for them, 10 months later they had twins. Now those twins must be 14, 15, 16 years old. Never seen them in my life again. I prayed for so many people, then God does miracles for them, you never see them again. They bankrupt, they're as poor as the church mouse. And then God blesses them, and once they bless, they never come to, because they now get a big deal. They've got too much money. That's why Paul says, command those who are rich. Not ask them. Command those who are rich to be generous. To trust in the living God. So God says, these things I plan won't happen right away, slowly, surely, or steadily, surely. The time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. So his response to God is, okay, God, listen now. He's in a place where there's no fruit, where there's no oil, no money in the bank, barrenness, dearth. But God says, write the vision. Don't forget what I promised you. Turn your weight into worship. And watch what Habakkuk does. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Oh, come on, somebody that is going through a hell experience, a desert experience, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise. Forget about your wife. Forget about people and praise God right now in the name of Jesus and focus on the vision that God gave you. Come on there in Pretoria. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. 5 more seconds. Yet will I joy. Yet will I joy. Yet will I joy. Yet will I joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. So David turns his weight into worship. When he did not understand what is happening, he turned his weight into worship. We try to preach the full counsel of God in this church because we have this amazing God. We have these great dreams and these promises, and then we face battles and people think they did something wrong. No, it's part of life. It's part of the journey. And sometimes we don't understand in our humanity. Sometimes we want to get discouraged, but we should not. Sometimes we have questions, just like David in Psalm 25. He says, my eyes are ever towards you, Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Imagine David, the king, the priest, the prophet. I feel desolate. I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look at my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with a cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. What is he saying? When people come against me, I'm not going to lose myself. I'm not going to become reactive. I'm going to respond in love. I'm not going to curse. I'm going to bless. I'm going to render to no man evil for evil. He says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. If I feel it's too long to get to the palace, I'm not going to take a bribe. I'm not going to sleep with a boss to get extra favor. I'm not going to try and help God. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to allow truth and integrity to keep me because God will get me where I have to be in the right time. Say amen this morning. Hallelujah. I'm not going to lose myself. I'm going to wait on you, God, and while I wait, I'm going to worship you. Psalm 42, he says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me. So when I go through the night seasons, the winter seasons, I'm not going to become cynical. I'm not going to become negative. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to get angry with God. I'm not going to blame my cousin. I'm going to keep the song alive. I'm going to keep worship alive. I'm going to worship my God. Verse number 11, he says, why are you so cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So many people are under the weather all the time because of things that are delayed. That's why we have to turn these delays, these disappointments, these detours into worship. When we don't understand, we have to choose to believe that God is in control. And we can be honest, but we should never begin to blame God and become victims in our situation. We can lift our hands to God. That's one thing we can all do. And we can worship Him, whether we feel like it or not. Because when we worship Him, something amazing shifts on the inside of us. Maybe not everything in the natural changes. And most certainly, very often, when we worship, things are still exactly the same. But when we choose to worship in our times of affliction, everything changes in the spirit world. Everything changes in us, and suddenly we see things differently. I mean, think about Jonah, what a stubborn man he was. Sometimes we're the cause of our own problems, and we're not willing to draw closer to God. Jonah was one of them. I mean, surely Jonah at one stage, he said, Father, wherever you want me to go, I will go. So God says, go to Nineveh. And he runs away from the presence of God. And we know he lands in the fish's belly. And after 3 days, I mean, if you throw me overboard, I think the first day I would be crying, help, 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 help. Not Jonah. He's got an attitude while the fish is trying to digest him. Sometimes people go through storms and trials in life and they refuse to draw closer to God. They'd rather fight their wife than draw closer to God. Rather fight another Christian than draw closer to God. Then you'll prolong your deliverance. You have to walk in forgiveness. You have to forgive. You have to turn your focus back to God. You have to turn your weight into worship. And the minute Jonah turned his weight into worship, God spoke to the fish and the fish vomited him out on dry land. I want to tell you, you're going to land on dry land again. No matter how you feel today, sinking sand, you will land on dry ground again. Just choose to worship Him. Be a worshiper and not a complainer. Paul and Silas worshipped in their weight, their darkest hour. And we know that God heard them and the prison was shaken. The chains were loosed. Their worship affected everybody in the prison. Abraham turned his weight into worship. Verse 19, Luke chapter Romans 4, the Bible says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. When Moses stood on the mountaintop, while his hands were raised up, Joshua defeated Amalek. When his hands became weary, Amalek gained the initiative on the battleground. Turn your weight into worship. Job turned his weight into worship. Maybe one of the people that have had the worst disaster in one day ever. Lost everything in a moment. His wife turns against him and says, why do you hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job did not. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 verse 20, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and he worshipped. You can fall to the ground and give up, or you can fall to the ground and look up. So don't allow your weight to turn into a weight of despondency and despair and discouragement. Trust that God is in control and that God will make all things beautiful in His time. Say amen this morning. So why should I worship in the waiting room? Because number one, 5 minutes, worship gives me heaven's perspective. Your worship is crucial in the waiting time because it gives you heaven's perspective. Because when worship and praise goes up, heaven comes down. Elijah, after a great moment, was so discouraged that he ran away from God and wanted to quit on the ministry. And God says, Elijah, get back to the mountaintop. Get back to the place of worship. You've lost perspective of what is happening. There are still 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I am still in control, even though for the moment things may seem out of control. I will still build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will still supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I am still your good shepherd and you will not want. Oh, come on, somebody say amen in Jesus' name. So in the moments of waiting, recall who God is and what He has done and what He has promised. Your praying and worship does not guarantee anything will change in the physical, but definitely everything will change in the spiritual. God's peace will come upon you. God's welfare will come upon you. So whatever you do, in your darkest hour, worship Him. In your loneliest hour, worship Him. In your most troubled hour, worship Him. In times where you feel abandoned, worship Him. In times of rejection, worship Him. In times of failure, worship Him. Turn your waiting room in a worship room. Somebody give the Lord a praise for a moment. Hallelujah. 3 minutes. Worship strengthens, number two, and settles your heart during the wait. Worship strengthens your heart and settles your heart during the wait. Psalm 27 verse 13, David said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. How we need that. When we face uncertainties and when we look like Elisha and his servant and we see armies encamped around us and the young man is all flustered and doesn't know what's happening, Elisha says, open his eyes that he may see. He knew what the young man never knew. When you worship God, you get to know what the devil doesn't know. You know things that in the natural world you will never know. You just know it's going to be okay. He settles your heart and He strengthens your heart. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, He gives power to the weak and those who have no might, He increases in strength. So are you feeling weary? It's not an ad. Amen. Weary, tired, lonely. We're not going to sell you a bottle of anything. What we are going to say is wait on the Lord. Draw closer to God. This is a relationship. This is a relationship. God is real. I can't tell you because I run. I don't sit. tonight after I preach, I jump in the car, ride to Pretoria to start tomorrow, my week, etc. My life is busy, very, very busy. And sometimes I get tired just like you, and I'll go sit and just, God refreshes me. I say, Father, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. I didn't preach these things just to give you a message. I preached it to teach you the reality of the Holy Spirit, who's your strengthener, your helper, your comforter, your teacher, your guide, who's real, who's closer to you than anybody else. So when you worship Him, His presence comes. That is more real than energy in a bottle. It's more real than Red Bull. It's God. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're not supposed to be tired. No matter what. You shouldn't be that tired dog. He renews your strength. 1 minute number three. Worship causes His peace to displace worry from your heart. That amazing peace that Jesus promises comes and settles upon you. Strength in your heart, peace in your mind. Can't buy that. That comes from Jesus. When you wait upon Him, when you draw closer to Him, when you spend time in the difficult moments of your life and you choose to worship Him, that's why the Bible calls it a sacrifice. Because your mind doesn't feel like it, your flesh doesn't feel like it. But yet God says, offer the sacrifice of praise, because when you do that, something amazing happens. The Holy Spirit comes, heaven comes down. The atmosphere changes in your business, in your marriage, in your physical body, in your mind. You have peace no matter what symptoms you have, no matter what your finances say. You have peace because God's shalom is there. A sense of welfare, come on, a sense of well-being. Jesus said, these things I've spoken, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In me, abiding relationship, you will have peace in me. I told pastors after Wednesday night, Jesus is real, family. It's like sometimes people, He's real, but He's not real. I don't know how to explain it. He really is very real. He's real. He's real. You need to stay close to Jesus. I told all the pastors, you need to love Jesus. We do this not because we get money. We do this because we love Jesus. Amen. We do this because Jesus, and every day you can experience this amazing Jesus, and you experience the peace that He brings. But without Him, you will not have this peace. And the cares of this world, the troubles of this world, the worries of this world will begin to overwhelm you. Draw aside. Turn your waiting room into a worship room. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. You're not going to buy this peace in a bottle of alcohol. You're not going to find this peace in another relationship. All we try and do is to connect you with God and be truthful that we all have to walk out this journey of life, and there's no easy, there's no miracle that will just change everything. Yes, sometimes God does miracles, but we don't live by miracles. We live through this abiding relationship, and we need the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us every day when we don't understand, to navigate through the difficult seasons of life. We need brothers and sisters to our left and our right that will encourage us, that will help us bear our burdens when things don't make sense. I wish it was as simple as just to say, everybody with problems. It's like sometimes the church wants, or Christians want the church to be like WWF. Everybody knows it's not real, and yet people flock to those meetings. What do you do when you don't get your miracle? What do you do when you fight a battle for your life with sickness and disease eating away at your body? We believe God is the healer, but what do we do while we go through the waiting room? Life is real. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus came, to promise you, Habakkuk, write the vision, abundant life. Write the vision, deliverance. Write the vision, healing. Write it, make it plain. Slowly, steadily. surely, slowly, steadily, surely, little by little. No, we want to run to the prophet that blows into South Africa for 3 years and run there to get a miracle. And then after 3 years, we have no miracle and then we're despondent. And then the prophet never puts his foot in South Africa again. And the church are disillusioned. There is one mediator, his name is Jesus. I pray today that you know how much God loves you. And I pray that you draw closer to Him, that you find Jesus for yourself. Because there are places only you can go. There are conversations only you should have with God. And we want to bypass Him. And want everything God promises. And because of His master plan, His bigger plan, He sometimes delays things because He wants our attention. He delayed Jonah's deliverance because He needed Jonah to come to his senses. Not just bless him. Sometimes if the blessing comes now, you'll backslide. Totally. So our joy and our peace is not dependent on the state of our finances. We understand poverty is a curse. But Paul says, having food and raiment therewith be content, which is not a destination, it's a departure point. But we can't always be in a place of discontentment and unhappiness, that God is not a good God. That's why when we're in the waiting room, we have to recall what God has done. We're born again, we're saved, God has been faithful. We're married, we have children, we have life, we have health, we have so many things to be thankful for. And if we don't look at those things, we become like Israel, we murmur. And we complain. I mean, God delivers them with a mighty hand and they never have an attitude of worship. And the Bible very clearly, Moses goes to Pharaoh 3 times. He says, let my people go that they may worship me. That's why I called them out of Egypt, that they may be free to worship me. And rather than worship, they murmur, they complain, they blame. God loves you. You say, Pastor, what hope do I have? You have the hope of eternity and you have the hope of a better life right here on planet Earth that comes through Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what must I do? You must make your peace with God. You must find this Jesus as I found Him. And you must give yourself to Him. Because you may come to church every Sunday and you don't participate. You don't participate in the worship, you don't engage, and you never experience Him. It's just another religion to you. Jesus never died to give you a religion. He died to give you a relationship. And I pray this morning that you meet Him. I pray this morning if you've wandered away from Him, you'll come back. I pray this morning if you've lost your mind and you're up to no good, you're busy with mischief, that you'll come to your senses today because that mischief will destroy you. I pray today that you will give yourself back to Jesus, spirit, soul, and body, everything, that you may experience the peace of God.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Art.
Just say these words. Say, Jesus, I give myself back to you today. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me personally. I believe with all my heart that you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me a new beginning. Here I am, Lord. Take all of me. I'm back. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.